When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Bold, reverent, and occasionally random, the Sunday Hang with Clay and Buck podcast starts now.
Mike Tyson is going to be fighting Jake Paul in the ring. Isn't Mike Tyson in his 60s now?
Mike Tyson, I believe, is 58. And by the way, Michael Jordan is 61. So Mike Tyson is 58. I will watch that fight against Jake Paul because I think, I don't know what you would say to this, I think Mike Tyson is, other than Michael Jordan, probably the most captivating and thrilling athlete of my, you know, sports fandom in two decades, two generations, three or four decades of being a sports fan. It's impossible to look away from Mike Tyson, and I'll still watch him box at 58, even though he was obviously at his peak athletically, I don't know, at 26 or 28.
I just wonder, there must be a huge payday attached to this. Because to be at that age and to be taking hits, look, I mean, Mike Tyson could still kick my ass. I get it, right? Like this, you know, there's something. There are people who are in their who are almost 60, and then there's the former heavyweight champion of the world who's almost 60. But the guy he's fighting is a young guy who's in good shape. Like why is this a good idea? I don't understand what.
I think Jake Paul's just a marketing expert and genius, and the brand value of Mike Tyson is so much higher than the brand value of almost any other boxer even now. And there's videos out there. By the way, Tyson is 57 right now. He'll be 58 for the fight. There's videos out there of Mike Tyson where you'll watch it. I don't know if you've seen these videos. They went viral a little bit a while ago. He's been training pretty aggressively for a while, and I mean, I don't know what percentage of 28-year-olds, I think Jake Paul's around 28, Mike Tyson would knock out, 99.9% of them probably. He still looks like a bad man, and I will watch this. It's going to be on Netflix July 20th. Maybe Joe Biden stay up for that one too.
You know, since we're talking sports as well, something else that has come to my attention. See, look at me dropping all the sports today. You know, this
You're
is
right.
What happens. Once you start doing some prize picks, you're focused in on the sports. I saw this game, this basketball game, where it was the two high school teams.
New Jersey, and
two high school teams, and it's, what was it, the semifinals of the state championship?
Final four
like that?
Of the state championship in New Jersey, Camden High School area team, and then another, like a Native American named school, like Manalapan, or not Manalapan, but something
Manalapan?
Like that. It's not that one, but it's like it kind of sounds somewhat similar.
Well,
we'll
dig into those details. All I can tell you is, and we should probably put this up, the video up at clayandbuck.com, because team got robbed.
Yes.
Team got robbed clearly on video, one with a last second shot. There is no question. The evidence is as clear as day. And now it turns into what should be done about this.
What would you do? I'll ask you when we come back. I'll ask. So for people who don't know, that was the last play of the game. The team made a layup to win the game. Clock expires. Initially, the basket was counted by the referee with the best view. They then gathered to have a discussion. They waved off the final basket. Zero doubt that the final basket was good. It's the final game of the year for one of these teams. It's tournament time. They're eliminated. 100% the shot was good. The team that lost should have been the winner. What is the appropriate outcome there when you have video people take in the crowd? It's not like they have instant replay. This isn't the NFL. It's not the NBA or even major college basketball or football where they have all the instant replay. They don't have instant replay typically in high school. What's the right result? New Jersey Athletic Association saying we can't do anything. They now have the school that was rendered the loser has now hired a lawyer. The state championship game is on Saturday. What should happen? What would you do? Because it appears that the New Jersey Athletic Association is not going to change the outcome. They now have retained an attorney. The title game is Saturday. You were a high school soccer coach. That's not really perfect analogy because the clock doesn't work in the same way in soccer where you could have, let's say, a clear goal that happens on the very final play of the game.
You could have the ball shootouts. Cross the goal line on video and have it waved off when it actually clearly crossed. That's happened in games before. So,
but the challenge is you would still have more time to play, right? This is a unique scenario to me because the game literally ends. And it's on video, and you can see that the wrong team, and this is not a judgment call where you should have made a foul call or something.
No,
it's
either, you can freeze frame the video with the ball out of his hands with time on the clock, and it goes in.
All right, so you're the coach. What would you do of the camp? If you're the coach of the team whose team got screwed, you clearly appeal. You try to do whatever you can to get your team able to advance. That's not difficult. You're the coach of this Camden, New Jersey team, Buck. What would you do if you knew your team hadn't actually won, but you were scheduled to play in the state championship game at noon on Saturday?
I mean, I know this is easier to say from the outside, but I would call the opposing coach or, you know, the coach that we had beaten, quote unquote, and try to arrange it so that I would concede. I would say that, you know, we lost the game. I don't think you feel good about playing in a championship game when you know you didn't earn the right to be there. And because there's no question they didn't earn the right to be there. It's not like, oh, they should have called a foul. Ball was in the air, time on the clock, ball goes in. And it was called good initially. So there's no question about the outcome. It's that if it were like a bad call or no, I mean, you know, that's one thing. But this is obvious evidence that they lost. So I would say that you should try to arrange to have the team that actually beat you go forward. And because it's high school basketball, right? You know, if there were millions and millions of dollars riding on this, or whatever, you know, that's a whole other thing. If you're talking about a college or a professional level, but it's high school, I think doing the right thing is the most important thing. So Coach Sexton would say, we are not going to play in the finals. The team that beat us earned the right to be there.
I agree with you. By the way, I'm going to retweet this so all of you can go vote. 10,000 people voted so far. I asked that exact question. 56% of you said that you would forfeit and withdraw, basically let the other team go.
Wow, 44% would just want to take the W advance, and go for it?
Advance and play was 44% of the voters.
There are barbarians out there. This is high school
Well,
sports.
I think a lot of people, the argument would be, refs get things wrong all the time. It's a part of the game. And now to your point on hikes on college and pro, they would have replay. This would never happen there.
Yeah.
So that this would have been rectified in any league that has any kind of audience at all.
Rafael Nadal is one of my favorite. He's one of the greatest tennis players. I think certainly in the top five, maybe the top three greatest tennis players of all time. And he is known for calling balls that they called in his favor, going up to the umpire and saying, no, that was actually out. So he doesn't want points that he didn't earn. I've seen him do it before in matches. And I think that's what sportsmanship is. And I think at the high school level, again, to your point, if it were college or professional, this would never happen. This is something that I think I think the lesson is more important that you get it right here. But I understand that people say, you know, the game is the game and it is what it is. But, you know, if you found out that a ref was paid off, like, you wouldn't allow somebody to then go forward with the team. The game isn't just the game.
Also, the way more people are would know this coach and this team and consider them to be great exemplars of sportsmanship for making that choice than would ever know who normally wins the New Jersey State High School Championship, right? I mean, the message to the kids of doing the right thing at lower level sports, I think, is really why most of us play sports, because most of us are not going to have college or professional careers at an elite level. That's why, and I certainly have my kids playing.
Why is it that this other referee, if you watch the video, and we'll put the video up at clayandbuck.com so you can all easily find it, so you can go there, we'll have it up shortly if it's not already up. Why is it that this other referee waves off? I mean, he was further away.
I know.
There was something funky there. It was not his call. And if you're relying on line of sight and not instant replay, the guy with the closer line of sight has got to be the one, you know, who's closer to the play, has got to be the one making that call. To override that call, I don't know, maybe he's the head ref or something.
I'm sure he's the head ref who gets the opportunity to make that call. But yes, they initially called it good. So then the refs, I think there were three of them. They all
gathered. That's a real face punch when, you know, you think you've won. It's a big moment for those kids. I remember when in high school, this stuff really matters to you. You think you've won at the buzzer, and then you're waved off after you've been waved on by the ref. I mean, that's a tough one to,
handle. Not that it's always dispositive, but the team that gets scored on knows it's good. Like, they all immediately slump. Like, if you're on the court, you're aware of, to a large extent, whether the shot goes up before the buzzer is going off, right? By the way, Jeff in North Carolina, you got a take on this. What you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to say actually two things. As a player and a coach, knowing that you didn't win, I mean, you got to live with that. And you know for sure, hey, these guys beat us. You know, you got to live with that. But how cool would it be for the players and the coach of Camden and the administration to get together and say, look, we're not going to take this. We're going to get – you guys beat us fair and square. You deserve to play in the championship. And give that win to them. That would be awesome to see in sports with as much stuff as we have going on. How cool would that be to see that?
I think that's the move. Totally agree.
It would be amazing. And by the way, we'll take some more of your calls on the State of the Union, Biden, and more when we come back top of the next hour. But it also sends the right message. And again, I just circle back to, nobody knows. Look, you care if you're in that district. You care if you're in that universe. Most people have no idea who wins the state championship. Everyone in America would know this coach and that team for doing the right thing, regardless of who ends up winning the state championship. It is an opportunity to do the right thing and get credit for it. The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code CLAY, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less, it's that easy.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
No surprise, but do you know the number of abortions in states where it's deemed legal have increased since the overturning of Roe v. Wade? Sadly, unborn babies' lives are more at risk than ever, and that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn introduces moms to their precious babies through ultrasound. When a mom in crisis hears her baby's heartbeat and sees her or him on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. Preborn has rescued hundreds of thousands of babies' lives, and their network of clinics are located in the highest abortion states, standing strong for moms in crisis and the most vulnerable preborn babies. Five ultrasounds are just $140, helping to rescue five babies. Preborn relies on donations from us. To donate securely, use your cell phone and dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 saying baby, or go to preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/buck. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Visit preborn.com/buck. Sponsored by Preborn.
Sunday Drop with Clay and Buck.
Phil wrote into the Clay and Buck VIP just to follow up to Clay the Love Doctor's advice to me last week about my obsessive NCAA tournament lady friend. He called in talking about all the different teams that she rooted for. And he said, I took your advice and overnighted a plush Illini monogrammed robe for cozy endurance viewing of NCAA games. It arrived Wednesday in time for Illinois' Thursday game against, I can't even remember who they played against on Thursday, but UConn. No, that was over the weekend. They won their Sweet 16 game. They beat Iowa State. Sorry, Iowa State fans. She was thrilled. Like an insider stock tip, Clay's advice will pay great dividends. I do think I'm an incredible love doctor. I think I can solve all relationship issues for anyone in our audience.
Were you, I mean, I would have to think so because, you know, we do a show together every day. So you know how to, you know, help your bros out. Were you an excellent wingman in your day?
I think so. Humbly, I've been married for 20 years. I believe that I would have been one of the greatest online daters in American history. I think
what
is, this is
what does
like,
that even mean?
I'll explain. I feel like, you know, if Michael Jordan had been born before basketball existed, his talents and his skill set would never have been fully realized. I think because most men are, generally speaking, you and I are exceptions. Most men are awful communicators. There are tons of women out. I mean, you know this. You dated for a long time. I'm sure this was a huge advantage for you. You knew how to spell words correctly. You could text message. A lot of men are borderline still cavemen. Like, they can't even make a joke on a text message very well. They don't really understand how to communicate. They may not be great at reading. I mean, again, I'm just throwing a lot of men under the bus here, but there's a lot of women out there listening right now, especially in a dating, texting era. I think I would have been amazing in communication digitally without, and I think I'm okay face-to-face, but I think I would have been really funny and witty and great at it, and I feel like that was a skill set that I never got to deploy. Because I was married before, like, any of the real, like, online dating universe took off. One of my buddies got married right before Tinder and Bumble and all these different things came out, and I swear to God, I was out with him and one of our buddies was going through to meet girls and he turned to me and he was like, if I had known these apps were coming, I would have never gotten married. I would have never gotten married. He's like, because you get into your 40s or your upper 30s and without online dating, it gets hard to meet girls, right? Like when you're in your 20s, it's relatively easy to go out to a bar. But the older you get, the more difficult it is to have a natural, organic person-to-person meeting. And so Anyway, I feel like I would have been good at that, but I'm not. But I was a good, I am a good wingman, I think.
Yeah. In my day, I actually preferred the era before online dating as a single man, because one of my superpowers was I would go up and talk to anyone. You know, that was for a lot of guys,
which
they
like
have
90% of guys won't do.
It's a superpower, and it still is in some ways. If you're a guy and you want to meet a lady and you're single, just go up and talk to her. Don't be weird. Don't put a line out there. Don't, you know, hey, you know, are you an angel? Because you look like you fell out of heaven. Or, you know,
are
like,
you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Wow, not for living in Tennessee, by the way, because a lot of people are from Tennessee. But
I was very good for my friends back in the day. Whether I had a girlfriend or was single, they could just sort of say, I was like a heat-seeking missile. They could be like, yo, I want to go talk to that lady. And I would go over, chat her up, bring her over. I actually did this for a very dear friend of mine who's now married with 3 children. We're at a nightclub, and I was like, and I might have had a couple of drinks, and I was like, pick any girl you want in this place. I'll find a way to bring her over to this table so you can throw some game at her, as we say. And he did, and they ended up getting married.
And now they have three kids.
Yep,
they should have to name one of the kids after you. One of my good friends got married back in the day. In the bar, if it were a crowded bar, you know how you sometimes have the accidental bump in, which gives you an opportunity to talk?
Oh, yeah.
One of my friends got married because I gave him a hip check and he bumped into a girl at the bar. And he was like, you know, man, it's crowded in here. That was his open, was me bumping him into a woman who is now his wife. And I believe they have 3 kids.
And one thing I'll say I've also learned, too, is that if you just want to speak to somebody in a social setting, you know, or, you know, just even in a way that shows some basic tact. Like if you're going to talk to somebody at the grocery store, you know, you're going to speak. I will say this. I have the gym, because I'm always like, you know, the gym is very hard to talk to a lady if you're single and you're a guy in the gym. I find that to be one of the hardest places. Some of you guys are like, oh, look at my six pack. Like, that's where I meet all the babes. Like, you don't have to send me those emails. Like, I know it's fine.
I agree. The gym is kind of a tough spot because also girls work out in no clothes now. So it's kind of like, you notice this? Like it's the gym attire.
In Miami, it's lingerie, basically.
Yes. I mean,
women work out in lingerie here. Yeah, no, it's really.
And then they are like, have you noticed this? Like they'll be like, guys are giving like, oh, I don't know why all these guys are looking at me. It's like you're working out in a push up bra and panties. Like, yeah. How do you expect guys not to notice it?
So, one thing I'll say though is if you are, for any of the single guys listening, whatever, you know, if you're in your 20s or your 60s, if you try to speak to somebody in a nice way and they rebuff you or they're rude in response, they may not be very receptive. They may have a boyfriend or they may not want to give you their phone number. That's fine. But people get worried to think about being shot down. Anyone who is rude to you, if you approach them in a nice way, you're actually saving yourself a lot of irritation because that's not somebody that in the long run you'd want to spend any time with anyway. So it's actually immediate self-selection. Like if you, in a polite way, just want to talk, don't hit on, but talk to a woman you want to have a conversation with. If she's rude to you, you don't want to, you know, you wouldn't have wanted this to go better where you get her phone number. I tell people that. I think that they find that very helpful. So,
yeah, know. I don't think that's bad advice at all either. But so we can solve now based on that email. Mm-hmm. And also lead to more kids. And this is my big thing here. Everybody wants to talk about the global warming and climate change and how we're all... The population of the world is collapsing, and no one will talk about it. I mean, on a serious level. You look at countries like Italy, Japan, great histories in those countries. Their entire culture is being wiped out because people don't want to have kids. And the same thing is true for large segments of the American population. So I want more people getting together, and I want there to be more babies. So anything we can do to help that happen, and that's what I tell my kids all the time, too, now. Get married, it's important, and have as many kids as you can. They roll their eyes. I've got 3 boys. They roll their eyes at me, but I'm going to keep hammering it. Get married and have as many kids as you can. Raise them up well, because that is how you save the planet. Population's going to collapse if you look at the data right now over the next 75 or 80 years. That's a negative story. I hate to be a doubt. Hey, the world's going to end because not enough people are going to have babies, but that's where we're headed. Bo in Nashville, you've got a wide range of opinions here. What you got for us?
Sure, I do agree with you. I was about the whole being able to speak well and being able to type well. My wife and I actually met on Tinder. We've got two daughters now, and it's funny because you really don't communicate the same way through text message that you do at a bar, right? So you kind of have to adjust that. But it also, I think, to your point earlier, it does help to stay connected because my wife and I work full-time, and we text each other, Snapchat each other throughout the day. We probably only get 20 minutes of FaceTime on an average day. I know you guys both work a lot. You probably have the same issue.
How old are your kids?
So I think it's great to be able to do that. Our oldest is 8. The youngest will be 2 next week.
Yeah, so you're in the weeds with the kids as parents as well. So good luck with that.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently.
Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helped severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It's already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes.
The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T2T.org.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.